Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life, the Medium Insight Show, sponsored by, of course, the Forever Family Foundation and the Camlock Center. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and each month I interview an elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums on a variety of topics. They answer the questions with motion, a lot of them answer the questions of what we may have. And you know what? Tonight's guest, I'm very honored and excited to have Joanne Gerber with us. If you want to call in and speak with Joanne, your questions are extremely welcome. However, please bear in mind that this is a forum for learning only, okay? And Joanne will not be conducting any readings, okay? So the main topic that we're going to be discussing with Joanne tonight is differentiating psychic information from mediumistic communication. And by the way, if you guys feel free to call in, the number to call in is 888-627-6008. Okay, so a little bit about Joanne. She is a profoundly gifted, internationally recognized psychic medium from the Boston, Massachusetts area, who's known for her natural ability to bring evidential messages from those in the spirit world. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and sits on its medium advisory board. And she's also a certified research medium with the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Joanne holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration and Marketing. She is Reiki certified and is also certified in both clinical and metaphysical hypnotherapy. Joanne is a guest speaker at holistic health expositions, spiritual centers, and colleges, and she's a frequently requested guest on many international, local, and internet radio shows. She's appeared on national television, including NBC Weekend Today Show, the NECN News, as well as being featured in many media articles. She teaches classes and workshops throughout the United States, and, of course, she's available for lectures, demonstrations, group, and private readings. Her website, and I'm sure it's probably the best place to get a hold of her, is www.joannegerber.com. That's one word, no spaces or anything like that. So www.joannegerber.com. And Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roman. I'm happy to be here this evening.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. And, you know, I don't know if what the weather's like in... you're in Massachusetts right now, right?
I am. I'm just outside of Boston. It's okay. A little bit on the humid, kind of humid, but a little bit breezy tonight.
Right.
But,
it's breezy here,
summer's
too.
Summer's definitely
we're,
here.
We're calling... I'm in Albany, and it is cold here. It's about 65 degrees.
No.
Big difference from yesterday, but it's supposed to warm up. We're supposed to have some great weather coming up. Just in time for the weekend.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so great. So, hey, how long have you been doing this, Joanne? How long have you had this ability?
I've been doing this work for almost 20 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It seems like just yesterday, however, but, and, you know, it wasn't something I did my whole life, of course.
Is it something that you knew that you had an ability for? Is it something that you studied, or is it just like a natural ability that maybe you were finding?
Well, it is a natural ability,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually think of myself as actually having potential, but I did experience many things of the paranormal growing up as a younger child, and through my teen years, that's when things started to get a lot stronger. And it wasn't actually until my 30s that I actually went and explored this. And it wasn't something that was the intention of becoming a professional psychic medium. I came from the business world. I had my own business and worked for corporate America and never thought about, never had really had an interest, even thought about or even knew really that this could be something that I could do and do and do as a career, so to speak. But it happened almost 20 years ago when I went to see a psychic because my dog was very sick and dying. And one thing turned into another, and then before I knew it, I was sitting in class, and I was learning how to meditate, how to visualize, how to do readings, and that's where I discovered I was a medium.
Wow.
I still didn't believe myself for a very long time. I said, it's impossible. How can you talk to dead people? There's just no way. Once you're dead, you're gone. I witnessed so many family members, so many passings before I even got into this. I never thought about, you know, I often dreamt of loved ones, but I, you know, just thought it was a dream because I just was looking for some sort of healing in my grief. And then I learned myself that, yes, there is another place. Yes, it is not the end of life. And yes, we can communicate with this energy.
You know, that's a really important fact. I mean, it's one that we stress over and over with the Forever Family Foundation and with Signs of Life, and just, you know, the fact that life goes on. It just, you know, it's so hard to visualize that if you're not a medium. And I've had lots of proof of it myself throughout my explorations. I'm not a medium or anything like that, nor I don't really have any aspirations to be one. I'm not that talented, but I just, you know, the whole thing fascinates me very, very much so. Now, can you, like, in your words, I mean, what is your opinion about, like, the difference between, you know, the mediumistic communication and psychic information? What would you say is
there is a difference. There is definitely a difference. It's, you know, what I see in my field is that there are people who just do psychic readings and there are people who just do mediumistic readings, spirit communication. Mm-hmm. However, you know, that's mostly, for the medium, it's mostly of choice because they can do a psychic reading if they want to. However, not all psychics actually get to the level of mediumship or can attain that level of communication.
So it's like that saying that all
the potential.
So all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
And you know, it involves reading energy. So a psychic reads energy, and a medium reads energy. A psychic reads your energy, your aura, what you're emitting at that time of the session, which, you know, because nothing is set in stone, the energy does change and transform. As that individual changes their emotional makeup or their physical makeup changes, everything, all that energy and information is reflected in the electromagnetic field, which is known as the human aura and the human energy system. And as a psychic, the psychic will pick up information in the aura of a person, and it's not always what people think, that it's just future. A psychic can pick up on past information from when a person, an adult, was younger in their life. Sometimes even past life information comes through, but also what's going on now in their life, and also seeing the potential of how they can make more positive changes for their current or past situations. And that's what's so important about the psychic guidance, is that we're able to channel that guidance. It's not something necessarily coming from our own minds, but we're channeling it through. And it's kind of free-flowing as opposed to having to think about it.
So you might even pick up on information that the sitter is unaware of.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely information can come through, or things can be validated. Because someone, let's say, is in a bad relationship, they're thinking about leaving the relationship, but they know in their heart that this is not a healthy relationship and they need to leave it. Well, if a psychic says, you know, you need to leave that relationship because it's not healthy for you, it's toxic. And, you know, a lot of times a client will say, I knew that, or I know that. You know, it's validation. And sometimes it's what people need. Other things are, you know, more awareness where people don't know of a situation coming forward with them and their life, and that's where the psychic can help tap into that energy or help them be more prepared for things in the future, to be able to handle what's coming forth. Like I said, it's reading energy. But with a medium reads energy. However, they when they're doing a reading, spirit communication session, they're not connecting to the sitter or the client's energy, their aura. They're connecting to the energy of a discarnate, a loved one that has passed.
Right.
So it's communicating with a spirit loved one as opposed to the aura of a person in a psychic reading.
I see. Now, in your career, what do you find yourself doing more, the former or the latter?
I do both. So it's kind of, you know, I think that more people want the medium readings because, you know, of, you know, watching like a lot of on TV, the mediums that have their shows and things like that.
Right.
It gets their curiosity up. So yeah, some want both. Some people want to speak with loved ones, but also have questions about their life. Because, you know, our loved ones won't necessarily predict your future. They may, you know, talk about some situations going on or a wedding coming up, but it's mostly for validation, proving that we exist beyond the change that we call death, that it's not a final ending, that it is a transformation of energy. And we know in quantum physics that energy cannot be destroyed. It can only transform.
Right.
And
right, right.
The spirit is energy. And the spirit is able to communicate. That survival of consciousness, the spirit energy, is able to communicate detailed information to the medium to convey to the sitter. And so when we're channeling from spirit, it's a whole different process than when we're channeling psychic information. We're directly connecting into the aura of a person. And, you know, distance is no separation. So if somebody calls from, you know, South Africa and wants a reading, they're not going to get any different or better reading if they were to come fly to the United States and have a reading in Boston because there's no distance with the energy.
Right,
and the
right,
same
right.
thing with spirit loved ones, too. No matter how long they've been in spirit, there's no distance. There's no physical distance with the energy, and there's no distance in time.
Interesting. Now, just like there are different levels and abilities with mediums here in the physical, are there different abilities levels amongst the discarnates in their ability to communicate to you? Do you find
I do feel some energies come through clearer than others.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel, or actually I want to say that I have learned from my experience that, let's say, a gentleman comes through, he's a father, and he's not a very, he's not an extrovert, he's very introverted, he very keeps everything to himself, he's someone that likes to spend a lot of time alone. He's not open to communicating his emotional feelings, expressing that, you know, so a lot of times they'll be very quiet when they come through. Because that's the way they were when they were here. But yet you might have mom come through who liked to turn on music and dance in the kitchen when she was cooking. And usually an energy like that will come in first or will be more talkative or will have more communication. Because it's like she was when she was here. The nature and the characteristics of one's personality does not change after the transformation called death.
Okay. And it's not like once you die, you become omnipotent. You don't know everything. I think it's we're always learning, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if that was the case, then I could tap into my loved ones that are passed and ask them to give me tonight's lottery numbers. But
of
they
course.
Don't work that way, right? And doesn't everybody want that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they say, well, how come your relatives don't give you, like, hints on, you know, winning the lottery or something like that. I said, well,
right,
if they did and I won, then I might not be doing readings today, right? So there's a reason for everything.
Right.
You know,
and
it's
you
what spirit wants at the right time, and it's just not the way it works. And, you know, it's only on very rarely I get, you know, people to ask questions like that, but once in a while it does come up. I think it's kind of funny.
And, of course.
I'm a terrible lottery player and terrible scratch ticket winner.
Oh, yeah.
I try, but I don't bother because I know I'm not going to win.
Me neither.
Anything.
I think I'll play the Mega Millions once it reaches like 500 million or something like that,
yeah.
Just for the heck of it, you know. But, of course, you don't win, you know. I try to envision the announcer announcing the numbers, you know, because I, you know. What
I'm going to next time ask my great niece, because I just found out today as I met with my niece for lunch that she picked $150 winning Keno numbers.
Oh.
And she's only 4 years old. So I think she's quite gifted too. So I think I would ask her advice on that.
Of course.
If it comes down to it.
So when you receive this information, either as from incarnates or from the auras of people or from discarnate entities, how do you actually see it? Are you clairaudient, clairsentient? How does it happen for you?
Yeah, I am. I use all my clairs.
All your clairs.
My clairs. I'm totally clair. And that's what C-L-A-I-R, not E-A-R.
Right.
Yeah, I use all my clairs. Sometimes I can smell food cooking, and especially if it's like a grandmother, I can smell like pies baking. I can smell if someone's got like a sauce or a soup on the stove, like something that they used to do when they were here. It's like the family recipe. I taste things in my mouth. Besides, you know, hearing, seeing, feeling, knowing, I also taste things, I smell things. When I do a session, whether it's a psychic session or a mediumistic session, I open up all my senses. I totally open up myself to receive. Because the more I can receive, the more evidence I can provide on both, you know, levels for either psychic or medium. But the information is perceived differently.
Right. Now, is that something you can turn on and off like a switch, basically, at will?
I always say it's not like an on-off switch. It's more like a dimmer switch.
Okay.
Where you can kind of turn it down rather than shut the power off altogether.
Okay.
Because you're always going to be on and on some level, and when you want to kind of, you know, turn the lights up a little bit brighter, you turn the dimmer switch up. So a psychic or medium would do that themselves, preparing for a session. They would kind of turn the dimmer switch up, make the lights bright, and maybe when they were done, they'd turn it down, dim the lights,
okay.
But those lights are still on.
Yeah, because, I mean, if they're constantly on, I can see that driving you crazy after a while, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things, Roman, that we learn to develop as a medium. We learn to control our boundaries with spirit, to not
right.
go around, just be open and be giving everybody on your walk with your dog a reading or, you know, the clerk at the grocery store. And I can remember when I was developing, I would feel this kind of building up of energy, like I had to release it, like I couldn't wait to tell this person that I see their
mm-hmm.
mother standing behind them. But, you know, then we have to think of ethics as a professional psychic
right.
medium. We have to think of the ethics that it would not be ethical to just blurt open something like that in a public way. That's something that's very intimate and very sacred and very personal that you don't know how that person's going to react. When
right.
someone is calling for a session, you know they're open to it.
Yeah, and they want it, so you're
they
covered.
Want it, yeah.
Absolutely.
But in public, the medium, the developing medium, needs to learn how to control that and always remember ethics, because that is so important with the work that we do.
Very cool. So, hey, Joanne, we're going to take a little short break so we can get a word in edgewise from our sponsors. It's about a 3-minute break, and we'll ask the callers if you guys have any questions for Joanne Gerber, who's our fantastic guest today. Just, you know, please call in, and I'm sure she'd be more than happy to answer any of your topic-related questions. Thank you very much. So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody, and we are talking with Joanne Gerber. Again, my name is Roman Karpyshka. This is the Signs of Life Medium Insights Show, and tonight's topic, again, is differentiating psychic information from mediumistic communication. Talk about a tongue twister. So Joanne was just she was telling us about, you know, her abilities and the differences between the two types of communication, and we were just kind of discussing, you know, what we love to discuss, which is, you know, the whole topic of mediumistic insights and mediumistic abilities. And so, Joanne, tell me some more about, like, what kind of things. Okay, you said you're all the clairs appear to you. Is there something sometimes that sticks out more than other times in terms of your abilities?
As term of my faculties of what,
yeah,
I use
faculties,
to communicate?
That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I would say the ones that I use the most or I'm connected with the most would be, mm-hmm, feeling, seeing, hearing.
Dealing, seeing, hearing,
and,
okay.
Of course, you know, the claircognizant would come in, too, where things just, I just know it's correct. It's kind of a knowing
right.
of things. And then, you know, like I said, the other ones are more secondary, like smelling things, tasting
mm-hmm.
things.
Okay.
It depends upon the communicator, but, you know, the evidence really comes in some of the strongest pieces when we're working as mediums is the evidence of the person's personality. What were they like? Can you feel their energy of what they were like when
right.
they were here on the physical, their kind of like their demeanor, their personality, the characteristics, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can describe it as you're feeling it, then people can identify,
right.
of course, with their loved ones.
Now, you must have had instances where you're describing something and the sitter's just not getting it, but gets it later because
that's happened.
It was unknown
yep.
to them.
That has happened. Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that's so evidential when that happens
right.
because they don't know of the information.
Exactly.
One of my very, very first readings that I did when I first started to do this work, I was working at a little New Age shop in Salem, and a woman came in from the West Coast, and I brought through her mom's, her grandmother's name, which, you know, I thought, wow, I got a name. That's amazing. You know, it's incredible. And then she started showing me a doll in a little red and white striped shoebox on a shelf in a closet. And when I mentioned it to the sitter, now this is an in-person session, she said,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea. She said, that's my grandmother's name, but I have no idea. I don't have any doll for my grandmother. My grandmother never gave me that kind of doll
right.
or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. Well, she went back home to the West Coast and called me and said, you'll never guess. She said, what I just found out. And she said, my sister has that doll in a little, you know, in a red and white striped box in her closet. And she says, I'm so upset. And I said, oh, I said, you know, I'm really sorry. And she says, well, my grandmother didn't give me one of those dolls.
Oh, okay.
She gave
yeah.
it to my sister. But the evidence, see, the evidence was still there.
Right,
but
right, right.
I love it when people email or they'll call and say, you know, I wrote this down and I didn't understand it when we were doing the session. Then I talked to my sister or my mother or father, and, oh, my God, you know, I never knew this about the family, and they validated things. I think that's wonderful because, you know, it shows
yeah.
we're not reading the mind of a sitter, which
of course.
Some people think that we do.
Yeah, the cold readings
the
or whatever.
Afterlife.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that too. But
cold
if someone, if something is
psychic.
In the mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, something is in the mind of a sitter, you know, sometimes mediums, psychics and mediums, of course, are accused of mind reading, which is not what we, like I said, the mind is part
right.
of your energy, but, you know, it's in your human energy field. But we don't read minds when we're doing a psychic reading. We're reading energy.
Yep.
And,
you know,
some of the thoughts that contain that.
I'm an absolute believer in the whole medium thing. I was a little bit skeptical at first. But I've had sessions with mediums of different calibers. One medium that I had was just, she was just horrible. I mean, I had to bring a picture of my son. And of course, she's like describing my son because she sees the picture. It's like, okay, that's
yeah.
not so good, you know?
Yeah, no one should ever ask you to bring anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, I was working at a big company with thousands of employees. And I called in from a conference room from that huge company. The company has two syllables, and they make light bulbs. You've probably heard of them.
Uh-huh.
yeah, so, or two letters, yeah. Anyways, you know, and I gave a fake name. I called in, I said, I'll pay you cash. And this medium got my son's name, pulled it out of thin air. My son has not a very typical name either. And just
mm-hmm.
whammo, right out of thin air, described them perfectly, and there's no way, I mean, there's no way. She couldn't have, you know, and the reason I did that was because I didn't want any what-ifs. Not that I didn't trust anybody, but I was still new to the whole process, but that
mm-hmm.
freaked me out. It was just so amazing when that happened. It's like,
because where else
wow.
could that come from, that information, you know?
Yeah,
it's
definitely
some
real.
Is contained, some of the information is contained in the aura, another comes from spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a very fine line when a psychic or a psychic medium, I should say, is tuning in to the energy, you know, or they're doing, say, a combination session where someone might want to connect with spirit, and then they want to do, you know, they have questions about their life, which is more psychic.
Right.
Or they want you to tune into something around their that's happening in their life. That's psychic. So spirits aren't gonna advise on that. They're gonna bring through the communication, the evidence that their love is there in an evidential way, and that they are around their loved ones here. They're watching over them just like they did when they were here. The psychic questions. I always like to work with spirit first, and then I do the psychic afterwards, because I have to kind of switch gears to tune to someone's energy. You know, it's a whole different shift of energy, and we feel it. It's hard to describe it in words, but it's a shift of energy. It's like going from inside, you know, outside in the wind to inside a warm house. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It's a shift.
Are you more comfortable doing one or the other?
I like doing both because it both helps people. I find that some questions that people ask for a psychic reading or a lot of things that probably have been going on for a long time, and they're looking to validate what they want as opposed to what they should be doing. And it's sometimes difficult to let them know that, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not telling you what you may want to hear, but, you know, this is not going to work out, or you shouldn't open this business, you know, next month, or whatever it might be. It's not always what they want to hear. I find that the mediumistic connection, spirit communication, is much more intimate and touches a person on a very deep level, as opposed to just providing information. And being helpful, it's very healing.
Okay.
Very healing, because we have so many fears about death and what happens
right.
after
Oh,
we
yeah.
die.
I mean, it's a big transition, and, you know, there's many different belief systems saying that, you know, some say we reincarnate, some say we, you know, we mold into one, but I don't think we do. I think we retain our individual personalities after we...
We do. I mean, from what I've learned from communicating with the other side, I find that to be true. Yeah.
I mean, it would be horrible, I think, if we just mold it all into one. It's, you know, some people subscribe to that, but...
And it depends upon your religious upbringing, too.
Yeah.
It has a big influence on a belief system, you know, and you really, you know, people just want it, like, you know, to prove that a medium can connect to the other side, just for proof, sometimes still don't believe it afterwards, because they've been brought up in a very staunch religious environment that does not condone, you know, communicating with the other side.
Right.
And it's very ingrained in them growing up in that religious circle.
Yep.
But it takes a lot, and I you know, give people credit for breaking through and wanting to try it and wanting to make a connection
for
healing.
Yeah,
you know, it takes a lot. And most people are very nervous when they get a reading, for the first time especially, because they don't know what to expect.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people say, don't tell me anything bad. I said, well, I'm not going to. I'm hoping to pull out some of the most positive aspects of your life and not the worst. But if there's something you need to know about, you need to know about it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was raised. I grew up Catholic, Roman Catholic, and basically, you know, when my son passed away, the first place that I turned to was the Bible, and I read it several times, and it brought me some degree of comfort. But while I was reading it, I didn't notice anything in the New Testament that said, "Thou shalt not communicate with the dead." There's nothing in there written that way.
No, and they were all, everybody was a medium back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I could quote specific parts of the Bible where I've researched. Of course, I'm not fluent on the Bible. I didn't grow up in that religion. But, you know, I've learned later how it really conflicts with what we do, but yet they did it too, you know.
Right.
So there's some hypocrisy to be considered there. And, you know, I think that we all can communicate with other worlds and other beings, and if we believe it, we can receive it.
Right.
But we have to first believe it. You have to believe it. And if there is a religion or, you know, a spiritual practice that's not working or not resonating with your soul, then it's time to search for a new one.
Right.
Because it's not going to change.
Yeah, for
and
me, for
it's
me,
not going to help you to grow.
Right. For me, religion was, you know, it's based on faith. Faith is based on belief. I'd rather know rather than believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather, you know, have the experience firsthand. To me, that's a little bit, well, it's a lot stronger. So that actually, you know, that's why I sought the, you know, the spiritual angle of everything, and it really helped me a lot. So
it does. And
there,
I think it's all about faith. Faith and religion's kind of like the doctrine that just makes it more, makes a person, you know, or tries to have them have more faith because, you know, they're going by the dogma, the creed. But, you know, I think that
I think they can
all
go hand in hand. I don't think they should be opposing each other. I think they actually strengthen each other. There's some very good parts about religion, you know, at least for me, the bringing, you know, the whole family values thing and bringing your kids to church and being part of the community.
If it makes you feel good and doesn't tell you what you should believe in, you know, I think it's all good. I think that people should be able to believe in what works best for them because we're really here to be happy. And, you know, if we feel drawn to explore other cultures or religions, even though we were brought up a certain way, then we should have that free will. And some people just feel guilty and they won't do it. And I think you become very stagnant. If you don't have a really good, strong backbone of faith, I think that your life becomes very still and stagnant. Spiritual practice, I'm not saying religion, but spiritual practice is very important to practice it every day, to incorporate it into our diet like we would with food or our exercise routines. We must have that. It's very important to keep ourselves elevated to a level that will keep us in the higher realm of things.
Right, the higher vibrations.
Being pulled down into lower energy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. So, when as a medium, Joanne, when you, I mean, you grieve as a medium because you're human and you've experienced loss like the rest of us. Do you find that being somebody that's in grief for a particular passing, does that hamper your ability to communicate with, let's say, that entity that you're missing or anything like that?
You mean as a sitter, as the receiving a reading?
No,
as a medium?
Yeah, as a medium.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that it can, and I think that, you know, we are like everyone else. When a medium goes through a loss or is grieving, it doesn't make it any easier because we're a medium, where most people think, oh, you're so lucky because you can just, you know, dial up your parents and talk to them all the time. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't. We can't dial up anybody. But we do communicate with them. And but I had an experience when I first started to do readings. Like I said, my dog was dying, but I was told she was dying.
Right.
When I went to go see a psychic. And it was very hard because after I started to do readings, my dog relapsed again several times because she had an autoimmune disorder. And it was really hard for me to go to work and know that I had clients waiting on a schedule. And I had asked my teacher, what do I do? Like, how can I do readings, but yet I'm grieving about my own loss? And, you know, it was more like just trying to put it aside and do the work because when, you know, if you're able to do the work, I was very upset about my dog. And I still was able to kind of put it out of my mind so I could give a good reading to the clients because I know they had some very severe losses and they were reaching out and they needed that healing. And, you know, we're healers. But then, you know, of course, I gave myself time after my dog passed to grieve, of course, you know, and I've lost another dog back in December, and I took some time off just to go through the motions because like I said, it's not any different when a medium loses a loved one. You know, what we all miss, medium or not a medium, we miss their physical presence.
Of course.
We miss them in the room with us, even though we can say they're okay, they're not sick anymore, they're in a better place, but we have the memories which we will hold and cherish dearly with our love, but we don't have waking up in the morning and having a cup of coffee with our partner or taking the dog for a walk that just passed. And our whole routine, our whole life is kind of shaken upside down.
Yeah.
You know, the more close to the relationship, the more it affects people.
Yeah.
And, of course, the relationship that they had with those people, their relatives, their loved ones, their pets, while they were here. We become very embedded emotionally. And it's sometimes very difficult. I can't say it's any easier for a medium than anyone else when they're going through grief.
I hear you.
Although we understand it. We understand it.
Yep, and I think the more deeply you love a person, the harder it's going to be, you know, I think, because there's a deeper level of commitment there. I know, like speaking first-hand experience, you know, it's been about 9 years since my son crossed, and
I'm so sorry.
Like crazy. Well, thank you. Anyways,
when I lost my mom back in '87, Roman, I was so upset with God. I was angry at God because I was angry because she was my best friend. She had cancer. Mm-hmm. She was 57 when she passed. When my dad passed, he was 85. So there was a long distance. And I had already, when my mom passed, I wasn't a medium, didn't know anything about the spirit world or anything like that. But when my dad passed, I was already a working medium. And although I was just as close to my dad and loved him just as much, I still, it was better for me because I know that he's going to a safe place because he was very sick. I know that, you know, I knew that once, you know, I started in this field that my mom was okay. She didn't have cancer anymore, you know. And to that note, that's a relief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relief to know that they're not suffering.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's okay sometimes to just be able to let go, you know, and let them have their peace and not be thinking of ourselves and we're going to miss them, more like they need to go because their physical body can't hold their vessel. Their vessel can't hold their spirit anymore. The physical body can't hold their spirit. And,
well put. So listen, Joanne, we're going to take another little break just to get another word from our sponsors.
Okay.
And we will be back to continue this amazing conversation. So again, if anybody has any questions to call in, please do so. And we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Back, everybody. While we were on break, we were told that we have a caller that called in, so we want to welcome Shayna to the show. Shayna, hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Thank you. Good, good. Welcome to the show. You have a question for Joanne?
I do.
Okay.
So, what is the thought on after a loved one has passed away when you see them in your dreams, and they come to you in your dreams?
Okay, so Shayna, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your questions. So Shayna, when you see a loved one in your dream, sometimes that can be a visitation. I always say if they come through and they look good and they look happy, and you know, that's a visitation, because that's the way they would want you to remember them. If they come through and they look sick or they're angry at you or upset, if it's a disturbing dream, so to speak, it's not a visitation. It is a dream. A lot of times we're processing things in our subconscious mind, because when spirit is truly visiting you, they will come through and they won't try to scare you or make you upset. They want to leave you
right.
In peace. Yeah.
And how about when certain relatives will come through and they'll have a certain smell. Like my mom will come to me, she's passed, and she smells like lemon blossom.
Smells like what?
Or my dad. They give you a smell. Like I'll smell my dad's cologne.
Okay,
or
yeah.
She'll smell
and that's
like
a sign
lemon
too.
Blossom.
Yes, that's a sign Because if there's nothing around, like that cologne is not in the room with you, you know, first I always go with the most logical, like, is the cologne in the room? No, it's not. Where's the smell? Where could the smell be coming from? Nowhere. So it is your dad. You know, if you're smelling that, that's his sign. That's his way he can communicate with your faculties of receiving communication from spirit. Maybe you're very you have a strong sense of smell, and you might find that true even in life, and or a very sensitive sense of smell. So he may be tapping into your senses to let you know that way, and your mom too, with her smells, absolutely. And like there's a the cologne, it could be a certain flower they liked, it could even be food that they cooked.
Right, right. And what do you think about when they leave you things? Like I find pennies,
uh-huh.
And I went to a medium locally here where I live, and she said that that's from my dad, that he leaves me coins and pennies.
Well, that very well could be, because there's an old expression called pennies from heaven, and
right.
Some people find dimes, nickels,
feathers.
Pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes, I would take that as a sign, especially if it was validated by the medium. Absolutely. Thank you, Shayna.
Oh,
thank you very much for your call, Shayna.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day. All right. So, Joanne, before the break, we were talking about, you know, how we react to the, you know, the passing of loved ones and how you react. And you were specifically mentioning, you know, the passing of your, you had some canine friends that had passed. And can you tell me, like, do you receive communications from your dogs?
I do. I did from my first dog that passed. My first dog that passed, like I said, was the one that started me on my spiritual journey almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was because she was sick that I went to go see a psychic, et cetera, as I was talking about briefly before. But my last dog that I just lost was in December, and Louie, and he comes through all the time. I see him in my third eye. I feel him. I can smell him. I get all kinds of signs, and I'm constantly finding heart-shaped things when I'm walking, whether it's a sticker or a stone or anything shaped like a heart. And also in the sky, he showed me his face in a cloud, and I actually took a picture of this.
Wow.
And didn't know I was taking a picture of him. I was in vacationing in Florida last winter, Louis showed his face in the clouds with a heart next to his face. However, I didn't actually recognize that until I started to look through my phone and look at my pictures. I was just taking pictures of Miami Beach, and there he was. And I said, oh, my God. Immediately I saw it. I wasn't looking, like looking in the clouds, try to make a face or make any shapes or, you know, convince mm-hmm. myself that he was. It was just there, and I knew it right away. And I was so excited about it, I put on my Facebook page and circled the heart and circled Louis' face in the clouds.
Definitely.
It was a little white westy, so the clouds are perfect. You know, I could see eyes, nose, mouth, ears, everything. It was amazing, and people were just amazed when they saw the picture, too. So it's just
incredible. So we definitely
incredible.
Know that spirits are, you know, they could be from animals, they could be from humans.
Yes, because,
from
you know, they love you. They're part of your family.
Absolutely.
You know, animals, we take them in and they become part of our family. We do everything mm-hmm. like we do with kids or other family members. We take our pets along.
Right.
And we treat them with respect and love. And love, like I said, is eternal. So we will see our pets on the other side, too, when it's our time to go to the other side. They will be right. there to greet us as well. And they do come through in sessions to talk to their loved ones. I've had many pets talk about, you know, things or memories that they've had with their loved ones here, with their family, and about how things are on the other side with them. And they're always happy and well, just like people. And it's such a big relief and so healing to know that.
Right. And from everything that we've read and heard, it's the other side is very much like this side, but without the problems. It's just a lot nicer, I guess.
Yeah,
depending on
different
also
levels.
Where,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it also depends on your vibrational state and how, you
exactly.
know, where you converge to as well.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And people ask me that question all the time, like, you know, is my grandmother with, in, you know, the same neighborhood as Mussolini and Hitler on the other side? Absolutely not, you know. They're on a different level. They're there, but they're on a different level. They're in a different neighborhood, let's say.
Okay.
You know, your vibe attracts your tribe. So when you go to the other side, those that were your friends and family members and pets and all those people that gave you love and you loved when they were here, you will see them again. And that love is something that will never change and never die.
What you just said really resonates with me. Your vibe attracts your tribe. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good saying.
Yeah. And it's true here on the physical, you know?
It is.
Here, and it's vibration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like attracts like.
It's
even
energy,
though sometimes
vibration.
We get some opposites, but those are our soul lessons that we have to deal with.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. So, again, you're practicing. You have a tell us a little bit about your practice so that if anybody's interested, they can book sessions with you. Let's just
yeah, they can. I would love to have you join my Facebook page, which is Psychic Medium Joanne Gerber,
mm-hmm.
and also my website is joannegerber.com, and I often offer different events. A lot in the New England area because I'm in Boston, but I have some wonderful events coming up in different places and all around New England and maybe in other places coming up for the fall. So feel free to check those out and follow my Facebook page. I would love to communicate with anyone who is interested.
Great. Thank you. And Joanne, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a very enlightening session.
Thank you. And
just,
same here.
I know I learned a lot. And
pleasure
I know that
to connect with you.
Thank you so much. And I know our viewers or our listeners are very appreciative of your talents and what you had to offer today. So I'm sure
and
they
I thank
will,
them for tuning in to Signs of Life Radio.
Of course, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to sign off now. You know, our loved ones are just a heartbeat away. Is that what Bob and Fran say all the time, and that science is going to prove
yeah.
it? So this is, you know, we'll sign off with that. And again, thank you for joining Medium Insights, and we will
thank you.
We'll talk to, we'll see you in a month.